From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. In today's edition of the SDM Show, I have Bud Crouch joining me. And what we're going to talk about is learning and all things Gutenberg and Blocks. So grab a drink, sit back, relax. You won't want to miss this one. This episode of the SDM Show is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency to handle all your WordPress website security needs. Go on over to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and find out how we can help you secure your website so you no longer have an issue with backups being hacked, or your website being compromised. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here. In today's podcast, I'm here with Bud Crouch of Joy WP. How are you, Bud?
I'm doing good, Rob. And you?
Doing well today for a middle of the week as we do this record. So today I thought we'd dive into a little bit about Gutenberg, about Blocks, about what you're doing. But before I do that, I always like to ask people what their WordPress origin story is. So how did you get into WordPress and why?
Okay, that's very simple because I know the story. This is one I know. So it was about 2008 or 9. I was with a client friend of mine at Grand Central Station in New York City, eating at a nice restaurant. And he said to me, you know, Bud, you really ought to get into this. You really ought to take a look at WordPress. It was funny because I had taught him HTML and CSS. And he said, no, you really should spend time with WordPress. And I said, oh, no, I'm a rage against the machine kind of guy. I don't want to get into that stuff. And he said, he looked at me very seriously and goes, no, I'm not kidding. You really need to take a look. Here, I'll give you my access to my site. You poke around. There are these things called plugins. You know, just play around with this stuff. And that's how it started. And then about, 3 to 4 months after I had first looked at it, I realized what child themes were. And from that point on, I was hooked because once I could see that, oh, you can make this into anything, I was in love. Yeah. That's what did it for me.
Oh, I can understand that. It's that ability to make it into anything, I think, is really cool in our space. So,
yeah. Of course, all that is changing now. And I don't know if that you might lead to this because of ThemeJSON and all the differences now with full site editing. That the role of the child theme is really, as we know it or have known it, is going to diminish. It's going to change. It is changing.
I would agree with that. I've spent a lot of time in the last while. There's, to me, two big leaders kind of in the full site editing circle. One is the GoDaddy field team, and a shout out to those guys. A lot of them are both friends of you and I. And then there's the WP Engine team.
Yeah,
that's been doing a lot in the FSE space. People like Brian Gardner, who's been around a long time. And, you know, thanks to those two teams, my knowledge with the whole FSE block space has just been growing by the day. And
I find it interesting that, and maybe I shouldn't find it so interesting, but that Gutenberg and, of course, full site, and even more so with full site editing, has been slow to be widely adopted and accepted. Now, like I say, maybe I shouldn't find that so interesting or unusual because these are such radical changes that happened fairly rapidly that people just could not and would not and can't, I guess, adopt to these changes. You know, when you have major sites, huge sites with thousands of pages and so much content, how are you going to change? You know, it's not that simple.
No, I think the reason a lot of it hasn't changed is for people that are old school,
right,
and have used a page builder for years. So whether it's Divi, right, whether it's Beaver Builder, well, it's right, Elementor, whether it's Brixy, choose your poison. They're not about to change their workflow,
yeah,
because there's a learning curve. And there's a steep learning curve as far as I'm concerned. But that said, once you change your workflow and you get into that steep learning curve, I think you're better off moving forward personally.
I do too. And I think a lot of studies that I've seen suggest that, for one thing, Gutenberg and full site editing is much more responsive. And here I mean performance. Is better than with all the page builders that you've just mentioned. And I love Elementor because to me, that's a full-fledged, fully developed web design system. Whereas Gutenberg and full site editing are, it's just not all there yet, but I suspect it will be there and it's fast. So, I just like the fact that I won't have to use a plugin. I can go with the native editor, and hopefully that native editor will eventually be a full-fledged web design system. Of course, that is the goal.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. To give listeners an example, I've talked about this before on my podcast. When I switched from a page builder, which at the time was Beaver Builder, mm-hmm, to right, Blocks, I added, no word of a lie, 12 points to my GT metric score overnight, like it was that compelling. So I think speed for me is one of the reasons doing it. And I should add, I'm not running native Blocks. So we all know there's some Block ecosystem add-ons, and I'm actually running Cadence Blocks, and it right, still added 12 points to my GT metric score. Huh. And that says something.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of where the speed goes. I think with Blocks, what you need to do is sort of set your stack up or what you're going to use up. So I've decided, generally, I go with Cadence Team and Cadence Blocks.
Right.
But I've got a couple sites running Frost, which is the theme developed by Brian Gardner, which is not supposed to be a production theme, but
right,
we all know people know how to fix stuff, run what they want to run. So
yeah,
that's kind of the route I've taken.
I think you have to look at, when you talk about performance and Gutenberg and speed, it's not just this speed as compared to the WordPress page builders, but how does it stack up against Wix, mm-hmm, and Squarespace?
Yep.
Because, in many ways, that is the competition, although, of course, their market shares are so puny compared to WordPress.
Yeah, but I think the reason why they're the market share truly is people think they're cheaper, and so I'll dive into an example of that. Let's go to e-commerce for a minute, and the competitor to WooCommerce is Shopify,
right?
And people look at Shopify and say, oh, they have a $29.99 a month plan,
right?
But then when you look at it, that $29.99 a month plan doesn't get you much at right, the end of the day.
Right.
And we're talking US dollars. And then you can kind of look at something like GoDaddy has managed WooCommerce hosting, where they throw in a whole suite of plugins for $29 a month. And when you look at it at the end of the day, I think you get much more for the value there of going to a solution like that, which is basically managed WooCommerce hosting, than you do going to Shopify. I mean, yeah, the equivalent with Shopify, you don't even get Yoast included unless you buy the add-on or you pay $89 a month. Like, it's just silly.
Wow. And now with Shopify, I know, like, for example, with Etsy, when you build a site on Etsy, you're really branded to Etsy.
Mm-hmm.
What about Shopify? Can you obliterate all their branding? I mean, I don't know Shopify as well as I probably should.
It depends on what you pay. Yeah. It depends on what you pay. And I don't think, like, I know Shopify has its place in the market, but I don't think for robustness, it really has a place if you want to scale, in my opinion.
Right.
And that's kind of where I go with WordPress is, you know, Wix and Square, and I don't knock those solutions for some people, honestly, because I think they're better solutions.
If you
want to spin something up quick, but if you want to scale, I don't think it gives you what you need.
I agree. And like Squarespace is pretty simple to use. At least I picked it up pretty quick. So it's hard, I say it's simple to use, but I really shouldn't use those kind of words and usually refrain from simple and easy to use. What are you bringing to the table? What's your starting point when you learn something? Which is funny because people always ask me, how long is it going to take me to learn WordPress? And of course I have been asked that question for 20 years or whatever I've been teaching. And I say, I can't answer that question because I don't know you and I don't know what you're starting from. So how am I supposed to answer how long it's going to take to learn something? I always find that to be one of the most peculiar questions I am routinely asked.
And what I'll also add to that, just because you learn it doesn't make you a good designer.
Well, that's true.
It doesn't mean you have a good eye for design.
Well, that's a different matter. Right? Yeah.
It doesn't make you good at locking down websites on the security side, which we know is a bit of a problem right now. And there's so many moving parts that I actually think WordPress has gotten more complicated over the years.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question about that. Yeah, I don't think there's any, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't think there is any question that things have gotten more complicated. And you can add, you said that Gutenberg was a steep learning curve. I totally agree. I mean, look how simple the old, tiny MCE, now known as the classic editor, how simple that was. Now, of course, you had to load up a million plugins to give you columns and this and forms and, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think people will, no matter what happens, the people are always going to love the classic editor. It's WordPress is such a, the web itself and web development has gotten so more sophisticated and complex. But, I always love this field because it was and is multidisciplinary. But it just keeps getting, in all of its different disciplines, more complex. And it's not easy. It's just not easy to make good websites. I just don't think amateurs can make good websites anymore unless they're really lucky. Or I shouldn't say that. Unless they have, let's say, unless they're keen on design or something, It's really hard to do good websites. I've seen a million crappy websites. That's what I'm saying.
It's a repetition thing, I think, Bud. The more you do, the better you get. It's like photographers.
No question.
How do you get better as a photographer? Yeah. You shoot a million pictures. And I think amateurs in websites or DIY people, as I like to call them, they just don't do enough of it to improve their skill set.
Exactly right. I totally agree. And to prove a point, I'm Exhibit A. Because I think of I'm not a designer, okay? But I think of how I designed things 20 years ago compared to today. What a difference.
Yep.
It's a huge difference. All right, maybe the tools are better, but not that. My skills got better. My skills improved. So, and the idea too, I think there's also this misnomer. There's a huge misnomer in thinking that anybody can make a great website. There's a lot of that out there. The barrier to entry is nothing, virtually nothing. Anybody can do this, right? Well, I'm not so sure that's true. Let me just say, not everybody can do this well. Anybody can make a website, but can they do it well? Can they make it correctly? No, they can't. That's that.
Yeah, it's so true. Now, you're spending most of your time these days training. What is kind of at top of the mind in training these days?
Right now, actually, I'm not really doing that much training. I'm more working a little bit more. I've sort of like flipped back a little bit to site remediation. Like people come to me and, you know, fix my this or that or help me with this or that. And I'm also creating videos. Their first videos for InstaWP. Yep. So I got hired to do that. So that's taking up some time, which is fine. Now, I do have two courses online. One is free and one is a low cost course called Using Gutenberg. And I think to be quite blunt to myself about this, I think I was a little ahead of my time. I just don't see that the market is, I thought the market would be there. Now, to be honest to myself also, I haven't done the kind of promotional work that I should be doing for that. So I've gotten some business from that, but nothing what I would hope for or expected at this point. And so sometimes, you know, if you're like Panasonic, you're like slightly ahead of your time. Yeah. Maybe I'm a little more than a slightly ahead of my time. I'm not sure, but I really do think that the market to learn how to use the Block Editor will grow. It will grow. You mean when you think of all the force behind what's going on with the Block Editor, the market will be there. I mean, look at every time you install WordPress, every new website has got the Block Editor in it. So, you know, somebody's going to spin up a new WordPress site or they want to learn WordPress. You know, should you teach them the classic editor? I don't think so. What do you think?
If it were me and it was somebody new.
Right. Yes.
Where the exact market that Gutenberg and full site editing should go. I think all the established agencies are going to be not do what I did, not doing what people on the forefront are doing where they're moving now. They're going to sit back and wait. And, you know, you can see it even happening with the company. So let's talk about Stellar WP, who owns iThemes and owns Cadence. What many people don't realize is they're in the process of decommissioning their old builder framework. And they've been saying they're going to get rid of it, and they've extended it for a while just to appease people who are using it and doing production websites. But Builder's going away. And you say, why would they do that? Because Stellar also owns Cadence, and Cadence is their product right now. They're all in, and Cadence now has a new shop kit, which I haven't had a chance to play with them. My good friend Kathy Zant will wrap me over the head for this one, and it's to do with WooCommerce selling, and it's just been released, and you know, they're doing some amazing things over there. So,
but but I also think of what Matt Mullenweg said at State of the Word in December, when he said at the time there were about 50 block themes, and he had hoped that by in a year there would be thousands of them. There's not going to be thousands of them unless something radical happens between now and then.
Yeah.
I mean, we have maybe 100, 200 block themes in the theme repository. We're not going to have thousands. That's a problem. For people who are pushing good, you know, who are trying to look to the future, like me.
But I don't know if we need thousands of block themes. I think
that's a good point. Right.
What we need is lots of patterns.
Yes.
And lots of things around that side. I think one of the things with Gutenberg is patterns are easy to use. I mean, you can import a pattern very easy.
Right. That's a very good point. Yeah. You know, theoretically, you really don't even need but one theme.
Yeah.
And everybody can build off of that one theme when you think about it, theoretically.
with patterns, with styling, with their own content. When you, boy, you think about it, you really only need one big flexible theme. And maybe that's what there's going to be, a killer theme out there that everybody's going to use. That's it. It could happen. It could happen.
I think, you know, I kind of look at the Gutenberg block ecosystem and say, what would I like? And one of the things I know in all the conversations I've been on, I'm really key on is what we call block locking. And that means the ability to lock blocks down.
Right.
And I want the, we can do it now, but it's more a broad approach. I want a more granular approach where we can just start locking stuff down by elements. Like I really do. It makes it easier so that when a client gets a site, they don't go playing around with stuff. That to me, stuff like that is more important. And then understanding things like what a reusable block is. Most people don't realize that if you use a reusable block and you make one change, it changes it globally on your site.
Yeah. Well, you have to, there's a way to do, right, but there is a way to detach it from the, but people don't know, right. It's, I understand. But, you know, going back to locking blocks, and it's really in its infancy. The thing that I like to see is that you could lock down the actual content within the block, which you can't do now.
No.
And that's a real shortcoming because you might want to say, okay, client, you can change some things, but you know, you can't be like right now, what can you lock down? You can lock down, you can't delete it. Or, I mean, there's a couple of things you can lock, but you can't lock down the content.
That's correct.
And that's got to come. You've got to be able to lock down the content. Yep. You know, so you're ending up with the, you'll end up with a page where there will be certain sections that, that will be like totally locked off, or block, whatever you want to say, roped off, blocked, locked off, and there'll only be maybe a few little areas in which the content can be changed by the client, and that's ideal. Yeah.
No, I think that's the way it needs to go because, and the other thing is, and it's worth mentioning, agencies have a tendency. The client comes in and says, we want admin rights, and they don't want to argue. So they give the client admin rights.
Well, right.
I'll tell you what happens when you do that.
Well, I know.
I had a client recently who I gave the owner of the business admin rights, but I didn't give the part-timer admin rights. And the part-timer couldn't do something, so he went to the owner and he said, I want admin rights. And the owner said, use my account. Well, by the time I got to the site, there was 6 page builders, 4 caching plugins, 3 form plugins, 2 plugins, and 22 plugins that weren't even being used on the website.
Oh, boy.
So the cleanup was dramatical, and I just went back and said, okay, nobody gets admin rights. And the owner said, well, it's my business. And I said, well, do you want to pay every time you need this thing to be cleaned up? Because you can't function that way. So I think part of it's block locking, but I also think part of it's giving people the appropriate user rules to be able to do what they got to do and nothing more.
Let me ask you a question that you probably know the answer, which is, with the way the locking works now, if you're not an admin, let's say you're a contributor or an editor, some lower level user, do you have the ability to change the locking permissions?
No.
You need to see, I didn't think so, and that like defeats the whole purpose of it, right? So if I'm like a contributor and you as the admin lock something off, I could still change it.
Yeah, there's some issues in there. Yeah,
yeah, well, that's going to change.
They are working on it. I mean, what people need to remember is, you know, 3 years ago when Gutenberg was announced, I never would have touched it, and now it's getting to the point where it's pretty usable. What else would you like to see go into Gutenberg? Do you have anything?
There is a really, speaking of locking blocks. Now, you know, it's funny because You'll see a plugin. Like one of my favorites is Block Visibility. Mm-hmm. And that gives you the ability to hide blocks or show blocks based on whether a user is logged in or not, or you know, particular day or time or whatever. They're, you know, different conditions. And I'd like to see that in core, but you know, everybody has their favorite, and you just can't put everything in core. And then you're starting to defeat the whole purpose.
Yep.
That's one of them. I don't know. I can't think of another one right now that comes to the top of my head that I would like to see in there. I would like to see, well, here's my dream. I've talked to some people about this. Maybe it was you and maybe others. I just don't think this is, maybe it was you, but where the full site editor and working on a page were merged. So that could be really confusing to people, but I don't like the fact, like, for example, if you take Elementor, they basically are merged. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have your blocks, also known as widgets in Elementor, but then you have your whole design structure for the site or the page is still built on that one screen. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go anywhere. And I like that. Now, and maybe forever, you will have to go out of the, if you want to change the template, you're going to have to go out of the screen that you're working on, the page or the post or whatever post type you have, and then go into the full site editor and start changing the templates. And maybe that's a good way to do it, so that there's a mental separation in people's minds about what's the difference between working on a page and working on a template. So you can see just the level of complexity now that's been introduced to all this. Wow. See, I really do think that there is a big opportunity for people who do training to tackle these issues. I mean, because it's become much more complicated. I guess, in the beginning, when I first started using it, there was an ease of use, and I think that's kind of gone for good or for bad. Would you agree?
I think it's way more complicated.
Sure.
And kind of the way I look at stuff now in my stack. So I've already said I use Cadence and Cadence Box. The other plugin I use that I absolutely love is Editor Plus by Extendify. And I use that. And the reason I use Editor Plus is if you want to remove headings or footers off a page, it makes it real quick and easy to do. So you don't have to do a lot of playing around with stuff.
Right.
And I'm not a big fan of taking all the stuff and throwing it in core. The purists will say, oh, let's get it in the core so we don't have add-ons.
Right.
But isn't the whole purpose of using WordPress to get the flexibility that we've always had?
Yeah.
And how do you get the flexibility if it's all in core?
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we're going to need, like, for example, you're talking about removing headers and footers. I mean, you can do that now with templates, but people don't even know how to use, you know, it's like, what? I don't know. We have a long way to go, I think, before people can really feel comfortable with this tool. It is complex, and there will be some people who will be turned off by it. There's just no getting around it. And they'll want something simpler, or they'll want a page builder, or I would, you know, it's funny. I didn't get this project, but I was really thinking if I had gotten it, you know, I never got to the stage where I would just, it was a big project, and whether or not I'd be using the block editor or Elementor or both. And of course, I never got around to that discussion with this prospect, but it's really, you know, and you really have to do this a case-by-case basis. So if you get a new client, are you going to use which one? You know, how are you going to do this? And there's no easy answer to this because there's so many factors that have to be uncovered before you can make a decision. There is just no one answer. There's definitely no one answer.
No, it's true. And that's what makes WordPress so powerful, is there's multiple ways to skin a cat, so to speak. And And
what you call powerful and flexible and all that, other people call confusing.
Yeah.
It's true. It is.
It is, but I think you got to realize that the more flexible something is, the more confusing it is.
That's pretty well the norm. Yeah. I mean, flexibility means more options. And more options means more confusion. It's sort of like, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you'd go to a grocery store and you'd get like orange juice. Okay, now there's high calcium, low calcium, this calcium, that. You know, you go like, I can't take it. I just want orange juice. Yeah, you know what I mean? Choices. We have choices in everything. And certainly WordPress does give us choices that can be bewildering.
What do you think about one of the things in the community that's been talked about a lot is to stop naming the themes with the releases by the year and just come up with a generic block theme? Do you have any thoughts?
You know, I don't really care. I just kind of feel, it's funny you mentioned that because I always feel like self-conscious. I guess I shouldn't. But, you know, it's really funny how when people like, what I'm getting at is like, if the theme is 2022, you have to write it out 2022. You can't just use the numbers 2022. It's sort of like how I don't use the numbers. I spell it out 2022 because I feel self-conscious. I should, you know, it's because that's what everybody else does. It's sort of like, now this is incorrect, but there's a lot of people who know better who say WordPress and they don't capitalize the P. And there used to be a whole lot of crap about that. I'm sure you remember this. And maybe there still
is. There still is.
Yeah. But I mean, I here the way my take on that is, if you know better, you really should put the capital P. If you don't know any better, who cares? You know, so you don't know. It's not the end of the world, you know? I mean, jeez. Mm-hmm. But you're right. There are people that'll just get, you know, they'll get tortured because they put in a lowercase p.
I think we need not to get bogged down on the little things and concentrate
on
the big
things. Yes, of course.
And, you know, I don't know if it was with you or somebody else, is having discussion that one of the biggest problems with all this box stuff is it's changing so fast and the documentation isn't up to date.
Yeah, you and me, I think. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
And it's becoming a bit of an issue because some people want to learn the stuff and they've got no documentation.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, I don't know if we were, but one thing that I think should be really interesting, and I don't know where this is going to go. My mind is not that forward thinking, I guess, is the effect of AI on WordPress. I mean, are we going to get to the point where we can speak to our computers and say, build me a template that does this, that, you know, is it possible? I guess it is. I guess look, we have these, you know, Jasper AI and all these other AI writing tools now. Wouldn't it be possible that you could create a WordPress website with artificial intelligence in minutes that would have taken days to make?
It just becomes what kind of bloat the AI will add to the website. So the people who still hand code all the WordPress websites in CSS and JavaScript,
right,
maintain the reason they do that is plugins add bloat. So right, that argument will just not go away.
Right. No, I understand that. But if there's a way that AI could create websites without all this additional bloat, I don't know. There will be a role for AI in WordPress. There's no question that I don't think people yet understand or know what it will be. How could they? It's still a little too early to know that.
I would agree.
There will be a role.
There will be a role. It's just to what degree. And
exactly,
as I say, I think we're already seeing it in the editing tools. The biggest one is Bertha.ai. If you know,
I've
Bertha.
Heard of that. Yeah.
Which is
Bertha. You could there's a plugin, right, that goes into WordPress that you can do the AI inside of WordPress.
Yeah, it started as a WordPress product, and then Vito and Vito Peleg and Andrew Palmer branched it out to a SaaS product. So it's now really a SaaS per se.
But is there still a plugin? I would think that they maintain so that if you have a Bertha account, no, there's no plugin anymore.
No, there still is a plugin.
Oh, there is. Yep. So would that plugin then connect to their service so that you can use it right inside of WordPress, correct?
And there's many programs like that that aren't AI. For example, one comes to mind is MailPullet, which Automattic now owns. Is MailPullet an email platform that runs within WordPress, and the plugin connects to their service to use their mailer.
Well, there's so, that's what I tell you. I remember 10, 12 years ago, there was such simpler things. And now everything, all these plugins are attached to third-party services. It gets so complicated. You know, all this stuff is just guidance. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, Rob. Maybe I'm just getting old.
No, I think it's just progress. And the reality of it is people don't like change and people don't like progress. And I don't think it's you. I think there's a lot of people that don't accept that. And that's a bit of
It's so rapid. You know, it's happened all so quickly that it's so hard to digest all of this stuff. I mean, I did start with Gutenberg from the very, very beginning. It wasn't that I was making websites with it. It was that I was just tracking what it was doing. And if, speaking of tracking, I was on this train trip, you know, around the United States. I think it was, this was pre, no, this was after the initial, I think this was after 5.0. So right after 5.0, I took this train trip, and it was about, I forget how many, I think it was 19 days or 29 days. I forget, it was long. And I started using Gutenberg. I started using it just to see how far I could, what I could do to make a website. It wasn't all that much. You know, you'd say like, I want to do this. I want to, you know, no plugins, just straight Gutenberg. But it started getting me into working with blocks, and it was so limited compared to what it is now. It really has come such a long way.
It has.
You know, that's true, but it has a long way to go. And what I would like to see, since you asked me before what I would like to see, I would like to see more polishing of the product before they go on to the third phase with what's the third, collaboration. I really want them to spend more time making that a more polished experience than what it is now. There's just too much that is just not as good as it should be. But they'll go on because Matt will make them go on. That's because they have this roadmap and they're going to stick to it, and that's it. And they'll circle back to take care of the things that I'm talking about.
Actually, it's funny. My biggest thing I would love to see them do is redo the media library, but you know, it's not going to happen. And the media library hasn't been touched in over probably 10 years. So,
see, there's so many things like that, you know, that could be made better. All right, in core. That they should address, but there ain't no money there. I mean, it's why they're not, doesn't get any attention. You know, it's not the future. Who cares about the media library? It's just a bunch of files.
Yeah.
But there's a lot they could do. Like they could do like an easy way to remove orphaned images. You know, I know there are plugins that do that kind of stuff, but you know, I mean, all you're doing is just taking up server space for unused images. You really could do it much. There's so many things that they could do with what they already have.
But I think some of that, when you talk about things like removed images and that, I think the problem is webmasters and site owners need to take some time every couple months to kind of take stock of what they have. So one of the things I like to do with sites that I maintain is go look at the plugins on a site, say, is this not being used? No, then why is it still here? And do the same thing for the images and do the same thing and do a cleanup. And then run a database compression tool to clean up the database. And a lot
of take out data tables that aren't used anymore because the plugins were uninstalled and they didn't clean themselves up, or you know, they didn't give you the option to clean up the data table.
Well, you should have seen what the database looked at with the site with 22 unused plugins on it. The table that was done with that one, right?
And
most people don't realize it's not just a functionality problem why we do these audits. It's also a security issue too.
Sure. Like
if you got stuff running around you're not using, you potentially have security problems.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I know. You know, speaking of which, is there a plugin? Here, you know, you're talking about removing plugins that are still active, but you're not using. It's really hard to detect sometimes whether or not you're using.
No, you have to go through them. The best way is to go through them
at
the time right now. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no plugin to say you're not really using this plugin.
No, there's not, unfortunately.
I don't think there could be. Well, that's a role that AI could play.
But it's also a role having a good webmaster on your team would play too.
I know, but not everybody does. That's, you know, what you're talking about takes time. That takes time to go through all plugins and say, you know, I have 25 plugins and I suspect this plugin over here is not being used, but I don't really know. And I can't really find out because it's buried somewhere, you know, and it's a single, maybe I just used it for one instance.
Yep.
You know, maybe it's a plugin that's got like, you know, 30 different features to it. I'm only using one and I don't know where I'm using it. So, you know, that's what staging sites are for, bud.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what a staging site does.
Yeah, I have a couple of things running right now. I understand.
Yeah.
So, bud, what are you working on in the next while?
Well, right now I'm really trying to finish up this week everything I need to finish because Saturday I'm going to Italy, and I'm going to go to Italy for about 11 days, so I have to like power down. Mm-hmm. And when I come back, though, I've got a whole bunch of webinars on schedule. I'm going to launch something called WordPress Group Therapy. Which will anybody can join, and it will sort of like be a open help. Really, it sort of will be like a help desk. You know, maybe I'll start off and talk about one topic for about 10 minutes or so, and then try to resolve people's problems, or not just have me do it, but other people as well. So I'm playing around with that idea. And then as far as my site goes, I want to do some more promotional work on the Using Gutenberg course, as well as I'm thinking of building a third course on just plain WordPress. In other words, I am totally new, and it'll be a short course, as short as I can make it. What is WordPress? What is WordPress.com? What are plugins? What are themes? What are just the basics. There's a lot of people out there that still need basic information. And I'm thinking about doing, make that free. I don't think that's going to be a paid course because you can get this stuff all over the place. And that's really a problem with paid courses, period, is that, you know, the thing about the paid courses, though, or at least my, it's curated. I spent a lot of time thinking out like what you should be doing, what order should be, you know, and if you go to YouTube, you can learn a lot of stuff. I do. But it's so uneven. You know, like some stuff is really good. Some stuff stinks. You could spend a half a day, you know, looking for something. So, you know, I still believe in these courses, WP 101. Okay, excellent. You know, the Learn WordPress initiative. They keep asking me to do stuff, which I will, you know, creative a video for them or do something. So there'll be plenty to do, but right now I'm sort of like getting ready to go to Italy. Although I have said this is true. I really wish I were going to WordCamp US. I know it's, you know, it's kind of strange to say, where would you rather go, to Italy or San Diego? I'd probably rather go to San Diego.
I hear you.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know.
I won't be there either. So I hear you on that one.
I know. And I'm not going to get up in the middle of the night to do live streaming. So, but when it's all said and done, I'm sure I'll check out some of the excellent talks, or at least parts of them, on WordPress TV. So.
Yeah. It's a resource that many people forget about, as well as learn.wordpress.org. I mean, there's other resource. So.
Well, let me say that my site, joyofwp.com, in addition to having the training videos, it also has a blog, and there will be a place to sign up for the WordPress group therapy stuff.
Yep.
So if anybody's listening and you want to check that out, you certainly can. And my email address is there as well. It's joyofwp.com.
And you're also on, you're on the,
makewordpress.org
Slack. You're on Twitter.
I'm everywhere. And what about WordPress Global Community? Yep. Hello.
Yeah, you're there too on LinkedIn.
No. On LinkedIn. Right. So I get around. So I'm not impossible to find. You know, I'd like to think that I kind of make it easy to find me. At least I hope so.
Yeah. I would agree you're not hard to find. When the conversation start on one network and go to the other one, that tells you something.
Well, you know what's really funny is that they write these three people from the WordPress community wrote this article that I mentioned. I don't know if I mentioned the beginning or somewhere. Did I mention it before? Anyway, they wrote this article that's going to be published in, I guess, the WordCamp US website.
Yeah.
And also something to do with World Accessibility Day. I don't know what it is. And it was all about me. And they never interviewed me. And they just did all this research on the internet. And they wrote a very, very accurate piece. They asked me to like fact check it, and I had a couple corrections, but I was stunned at how much information there is out there on me, you know, whether it's talks that I did or stuff. It's really, you know, once it's on the internet, they ain't kidding. It doesn't go away. So be careful.
Bud, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for chatting Gutenberg and WordPress and what you're doing. It's always such a pleasure. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, Rob. And thank you so much for inviting me to do this.
Yeah, we'll do this again sometime. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. Thanks. You take care.
You too. This episode of the SDM Show is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency to handle all your WordPress website security needs. Go on over to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and find out how we can help you secure your website so you no longer have an issue with backups, being hacked, or your website being compromised. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. A very special thank you to Bud for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. Thank you for listening to this edition of the SDM Show. The SDM Show is brought to you by Rob Cairns and Stunning Digital Marketing. For more information about Rob Cairns and Stunning Digital Marketing, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.info. From here, you can connect to us on social media, go to our website, and even go to the podcast to subscribe. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars. Make your business succeed.